reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 278, Five Stages of Remembrance. Just as we have discussed that hearing and singing generally proceed in a certain order, from the Lord's names to his forms, attributes, and finally his pastimes, remembrance of the Lord should also be taken up in order, which facilitates each successive stage in the progression. Thus, after remembrance of the Lord's name and forms, once you remember his attributes, associates, service, and pastimes. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadhamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadanastinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagi Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabipsamantam Kripam Bhuhiya Paradhuka Dhuki Sanatanastam Prabhumastriyami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. Greetings from Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. It's kind of a very nice beach community on a little peninsula, so it kind of has a peaceful air about it. Not a thoroughfare for so many other things. And I'm here with Shastra and, of course, Mahahari. Some of you know him from our tour in India. Also, godbrother Pallad Priya. Soon, within 6 months, I think Satsarup Maharaj will be living here, and some of his disciples also. I've been kind of on a bit of a, I always try to share with you what I'm doing. I've kind of been on a bit of a whirlwind tour. Not exactly my plan. I'm just trying to follow the inspiration that Srila Prabhupada's giving me. Continued my little whirlwind here, at least for me, preaching tour. And I was just, some of you heard on Sunday, but some didn't. I was just in Washington. Some of you may know Gopi Manjari and Lalita Madhava, who used to live in Saratoga Springs near Albany, and I used to work with them, preaching. She used to do all kinds of preaching. I mean, Saratoga Springs, it's not a very big city, but she used to just put up flyers about mantra meditation, Ayurveda, whatever it is, cold, and get some hall, and somehow she was successful in this way, and we actually did introduce some people in what we would call Middle America, not necessarily, to Krishna consciousness, coming forward as devotees. As you know, generally our preaching has been to people who are not established in the world. generally people who come out of high school or college, but there's a kind of a great receptivity in America for Indian thought when presented in the proper way. And I would have to say, if I think back to any program I've ever done, I think it was the most enlivening. She teaches yoga in two different yoga schools in Washington, D.C. And 50 people came just ready to hear, and, you know, just by interacting with the people, they were very, very responsive. I stayed after the program. Many came up to see me. Many took my book, Greetings from Vrindavan. They were very generous in the donations they gave. And, you know, it was, you know, it wasn't just, you know, maybe one or two people were in college or something, but these were people established in the world, 30, 40, 50. One person was a political activist, one person was a lawyer, one lady was from the Washington Ballet, one person was from theater. It was very enlivening to see how relevant the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is when packaged in a relevant way for people. I had this concept of really when you're teaching, what you try to do is you try to see what the other person's frame of reference is, and then you know what you see what do they see that's true. You know, maybe they understand tolerance. Solinus Chaprari Swami was telling me when he preaches in yoga people, one point he makes is that selfishness is unbecoming to the soul. So that's a reality that people already have. They understand that one shouldn't be selfish, that one should be kind, that one should be... So if you can get into, you know, the greater the level of understanding of reality that people have, the more influence you'll generally have. But if you can understand their frame of reference and add to it, add to their vision of reality, how thankful people actually become. And I saw that. I spoke on karma. It's a very relevant subject. Why? Because people are suffering. And they're suffering due to their past reactions. And you can explain that in a particular way and understand how important the proper decisions one makes in life. I generally quote Hitopadesh, that our decisions determine our fate. So giving a class on helping people understand what actually is happening to them in their life when they're facing their destiny, and what is the appropriate way to respond, it just adds so much to people's conception of their lives and understanding. And I saw the gratitude that people have. What's up? Yeah. Okay. Mahan's here for class. Please sit down here. Mahahari was, Krishna Maharaj very often used to stay in his house in Houston. And he would cook for him. So last 2 days we had that pleasure. Very nice. Anyway, I was explaining the program and how nice it is and how enlivened I am to represent Prabhupada and his teachings and representing nothing else. It really inspires you to represent Prabhupada and his teachings. How much it can add to intelligent people's lives. So that was quite enlivening. So we're discussing the practices of devotional service, and we're discussing them in an order. And there's a reason why we're discussing them in an order, because they are progressive. It's like building a building. You know, you don't put up the wallpaper before you put in the plumbing. I have a friend that did that. Put in the wallpaper first, then he put in the plumbing, and then the pipe broke. You know, you don't build the building until you dig the foundation. It's progressive, and that's actually mentioned here in what we read today, even. Just, you know, the item of remembrance itself, smaran, is also progressive. You should take it up in an order, which facilitates each successive stage in the progression. Each thing you do supports the next stage, and therefore it's important to go step by step. So after he discusses kirtan, and he mentions that in these items, you know, it's a progression, and it's a progression of purification of the heart, and therefore there's purification of the heart, because this deals with remembrance. It's a process which deals with minute investigation of the mind, which takes purity of heart. So if you take to a process that requires a high degree of purity of a heart before you're actually at that stage, it won't have the desired effect. If the desired effect of all processes is to remember Krishna, to control, and that takes controlling the mind. The mind is difficult to control. That's why we're going to read later. What is this Astanga Yoga? There's 8 parts, 5 are external. Why? Because Astanga Yoga means, you know, you do asana, yam, niyam, pranayam. An asana, pranayama, pratyahara, they all deal with the body and the mind. They actually deal all with the body, basically. So, in other words, it begins with the body. Why? Because it's easier to control. In other words, it's easier to put the body in one place before you put the mind in one place. And when you get to the practice of smaran, you have to put the mind in one place. So there's a lot of external purification, even in this meditational process. Anyway, he describes this sadhana kram, and then he makes a point that even when you get to this level of purification, where you can actually minutely investigate with the mind. And I do know some people who are at that level and that share their meditation. It requires a purity of heart, and it requires a depth of understanding, because to control the mind, what are you going to think of? You have to have things to think of. You have to actually have knowledge of Krishna's pastimes in detail. So, smaran, even if you get the stage of remembrance, you don't give up kirtan. This is also a very interesting point. There's a purpose of remembrance. The purpose of remembrance is to when you can concentrate your mind and focus on it in that way, it will facilitate the development of your devotion. But still, even if you come to that level of purity, Jiva Goswami says, you don't give up kirtan. There's an indispensability of kirtan in this age. You just can't give it up. And then he quotes that verse, which is quoted all through the practices of devotional service that's listed. Etadna vidyamanano, the peerless method of success for all, harinamanu kirtana, for all that do kirtan. So you never give up kirtan. But you're not discounting also in our tradition that at a certain level, this type of concentrated remembrance is a great facility for developing your devotion and your mood of seva for Krishna. and developing your specific mood of love. We're not denying that. And therefore, there is that necessity at a certain level of devotion for those who are inclined and have that proclivity in nature for teachings and instructions and hearing and chanting about the pastimes of Krishna and meditating on them. It's very efficacious because ultimately everything is about the mind. We do kirtan, why? Because it's the best way to control the mind. So definition, minute investigation of the mind, of the nam, the name, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes. So this is what smaran, remembrance means. He begins, as he always does, it's a progression. So first is remembrance of the name, to hold the name of Krishna within the mind. And there are people who chant silently who can do this. There's an internal and external sense. You can hear within the mind. That's the purpose, is to hear within the mind. But we activate the external sense because it facilitates that hearing. But we do see sometimes when we hear a class and our mind wanders that we're not actually hearing because the internal sense isn't activated. Ultimately, we have to activate the internal sense of hearing. So at a very advanced stage, when one's mind is controlled, he can chant silently, but he's still hearing. Because hearing is ultimately in the mind. We can chant now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now chant the rest of the mantra in your mind. You hear it in the mind. So remembrance of the name is described, he quotes the Javali Samhita, those who desire varieties of bliss should simply chant, remember, sing, and praise the name of Lord Hari. So if you want bliss, what should you do? You should chant here and remember. You can remember the name. But again, he makes the point, it's so important, a pure heart is required. Therefore, it's not as effective as kirtan for those who don't have a pure heart. Because you don't need a pure heart to do kirtan. The senses are absorbed in sound and music, imbued with the name. So again, you don't need a pure heart. So this is Lord Chaitanya gave this process. It's very, very wonderful. And the fruit of remembrance, the real fruit of remembrance, devotion characterized by praying for Krishna. Again, in his analysis, there is a purpose for this. And we shouldn't neglect remembrance of Krishna. And at a particular time in our life, it may be our spiritual evolution, it may be our inclination, it may be our samskara, our previous impressions, that we can cultivate Krishna consciousness within the mind and serve Krishna in that way. And that's the goal. And the benefit of remembrance, very beautiful verse from Sridham. When we know the story of Sridham, he was the, I think it should be Sudham. It looks like there's a mistake here in the translation here, because it's Sudama Brahman. And Sudama Brahman comes back, and his wife's very surprised that he has all this wealth. So he says, why are you so surprised? The Lord offers his very self to one who remembers his lotus feet. So why should he not also provide his devotees with wealth and whatever is desirable? So it's not surprising. If one just remembers his lotus feet, he gives his self. So this is a verse. And then Jiva Goswami in the verse gives some very interesting Sanskrit analysis. There's a word artha kaman, which means wealth and objects of desire. So there's a Sanskrit rule, and it's in the plural. So if it's in the plural, objects of desire, it says that, it's a little technical, but it's a grammatical rule that an unexpressed word can be inferred when it shares the same gender. So it means, even though it says artha kaman, you can put moksha, because it's the same gender. It's both, it's a masculine gender. So it's implied. Anyway, he does things like this. Now we'll get up to today's verse. So he describes the stages of remembrance. And we're going to finish the section on remembrance. Lahari, did you just come back from work? You want to freshen up or something, or eat something? You're okay? Okay. Okay. Okay, so there are five stages of remembrance. So, very interesting. So he says, just as we discussed, hearing and singing go in order. Even not kirtan, it's the name. And the beautiful point here is that it facilitates each successive stage in prayer. So you chant the name, it facilitates, being able to chant the form, the qualities, the pastimes. Same thing with hearing. So same thing with smarn. Nam smarn, kind of little, try to remember the name, and it facilitates the form, remembrance of the form, etc. In other words, Lila, and then it says, thus after remembrance of the Lord's name and form, one should remember his attributes, associates, service, and pastimes. In other words, remembrance should also be done in specific orders. So therefore, Lila, or pastimes, comes at the end when there's purity of heart and one is adept at remembrance. And this doesn't mean you can't remember Krishna's pastimes, but as a process where you just sit down, you know, we should try to remember. Of course we should try to remember. But to make that our primary sadhana for hours and focus, this takes a purity of heart, and it's mentioned here. And therefore, how wonderfully Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada gave us this process of achieving the highest goal. But they gave us the sadhana kram. Not that we prematurely get advanced meditation, because it doesn't work. Because it's just dealing with the mind, so when you deal with the mind, the process that deals with the mind, you have to withdraw the senses from all other objects. But when there's impurity in the heart, then the mind will go to the senses for satisfaction. But because the senses have withdrawn, when they go to the senses, the senses will carry you to the distraction. But in kirtan, even if the mind wanders and goes to the senses, it goes to the ear, and it's hearing, it goes to the, you know, the speaking, kirtan. So he's making the point again and again, efficacious. Now, also, this remembrance similarly should go in stages, and these are the five stages of remembrance. In other words, remembrance has two different first, it's the name, then it's the form, then it's the quality, the associates, the service, the pastimes. That's one progression. Another progression is that there are levels of remembrance. So I want to explain. There are five stages. And one is just known as smarnama, remembrance. And that's just, in a casual way, in whatever member, remember Krishna. Whatever, you know, just remember Krishna. Then it comes, when the mind becomes more purified, and you can withdraw the mind from all external objects. See, initially, you can't withdraw the mind from external objects, but you say Krishna and you describe Krishna to someone and they try to remember. But they're not really yogis yet. They can't really withdraw their senses so well. You know, so the remembrance, they're chanting, so that's fine. Then when you can withdraw the mind from all external objects and fix it in a general way on the Lord, it's called dharana or concentration. So then you actually attempt to, and you're successful with withdrawing the senses, And then you think in a very general way about Krishna, his qualities, his, you know, his pastimes, a little, in a general way. You have some remembrance. Then it comes to the point called jhana or meditation, and then you can specifically contemplate the name, form, and other attributes in a more specific way. You can start meditating on Krishna's lotus feet and the red tinge in his lotus feet and the tulsi leaves with chandan maybe between the toes and the ankle bells and the, you know, you can really begin to specifically meditate his garland, his flowers, the fragrance. You're meditating not just on the sights, you're meditating on the fragrance. You're meditating on what it feels like. You're meditating on what the moods are like. There's a very more concentrated thing. When you're meditating on Krishna's pastimes, it becomes specific. What type of birds are in that particular type of season? What is the fragrance? What is the sight? What does it feel like? What are the moods? What are the, so many things to remember. Then, there comes a point, the fourth stage, called Dhruvana Smriti. You're sure that this is charged? Okay. Yeah. Okay. There's Dhruvana Smriti, or that's constant remembrance. And there's going to be verses. That's kind of, the remembrance just never stops. It's just so flowing. Sometimes this is called Swarasikhi. Swarasikhi. There's two types of remembrance. One is called mantra upasana. You get a particular mantra and you meditate on that mantra. This is the end of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's Bhakti Rasayan. Sanatana Goswami gives our kind of path of remembrance, and he gives various verses. And those verses, they can paint a picture of Krishna. And blowing the flute, calling the gopis, there's descriptions. There's different descriptions of what Krishna looks like. You know, just like Chintamani, Prakara, Sadmasu, Kopa, Viksha, Laksha, Vitesha, sort of be, you know, Krishna with the cows, surrounded by the gopis. So that's pictures. It's like a painting. And then there's Swarasikhi, which means you see a movie. So Dhruvana Smriti, it's like when you're seeing like a movie. Or even the concentration, it's just flowing, one thing after another. And then finally, the last stage is called samadhi or trance. The meditation is so deep, you have no cognizance of anything else. You're not even aware anymore. The meditation is so deep. So now he's going to give verses that show the difference. And he'll start with Smarnam, this casual remembrance, the short period of remembrance. He quotes from the Brihat Naradiya Purana, remembrance of the imperishable Lord Narayan by any means whatsoever brings happiness even to a sinful person. That is no doubt. So it's so glorious just to remember Krishna. I remember when, you know, initially my parents were inimical until they came to Vrindavan in 1982, almost 25 years ago. They came to Vrindavan. But before that, my parents were a little bit inimical. And, you know, I was estranged from them after they tried to kidnap me. And, you know, I wouldn't talk to them. Of course, looking back, it was partly my fault, because when you enter into, initially when you get a very strong or powerful truth, you develop a passion about the truth, and you don't balance it well with other things. It's like a truth. You get carried away with that truth, and you don't have proper balance with that truth. So from the outside world, and even though you have a truth and you're experiencing it, it looks a little bit strange sometimes. So my parents had a little reason to be concerned. You know, we were fired up. So then somehow or other my father, it was a very interesting story. The Dallas the vehicle closed, and then it was, I just came down one day, you know, and on the office, I saw all the devotees looking at a letter, and it was Prabhupada's letter saying the school was closed, we're moving to Vrindavan. I had no idea, what is this, I just came, basically, what is this Vrindavan? All of a sudden, it was Providence, how fortunate I was in many ways, that all of a sudden, Providence, I'm going to Vrindavan, I was on my own. And I remember, I had to get to New York to try to collect to go to Vrindavan. And I remember the only way I got to New York is the library party came through. So I actually traveled from New York, from Texas to New York, with Bhaktivedanta Swami. Who else was there? Mahabhuti. There was a few other, Sahotra Swami. There was a few other people. That's when I remember Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, that, you know, they stay in campgrounds. I remember he was up before anybody, and he, you know, he was chanting outside the bathroom in the campground, like standing up. Basically, I think chanting like 48 rounds before anybody woke up. So I remember I went to New York, and so I had to somehow get money there, so I went out to collect. I didn't know what I was doing. I never did that before. I went out in the streets of New York. And I tried everything, making announcements on the subways, going to department stores, you know, everything they did I tried. And it was very stressful because I didn't really know what I was doing. So one day I was on the street and this one guy came up to me and asked how his son was doing. His son had some kind of brain tumor. This guy used to go to the temple, and he asked me what my name is, and he said, why don't you contact your father? What? Why don't you contact your father? You mean the guy in the street. So somehow, I don't know how he knew my father. My father came to the temple, and he just said, you know, for 1 year I couldn't sleep. All I could think of was Krishna, 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 Krishna. So that's kind of, I guess you get a lot of benefit. But that's kind of like smartum, you know. It's not a concentrated thing. You know, it says here, where does it say, mind that becomes attached? No, it says remembrance of by any means whatsoever. So this is smartum, by any means whatsoever. It wasn't even devotional. And then there's Dharana, it's from the Bhagavatam, Krishna's, I guess it's Uddhava Gita, the mind of a person who dwells on sense objects becomes attached to them, whereas the mind that focuses upon me becomes absorbed in me alone. So that's more, he's withdrawn the mind and it's more concentrated, but it's not yet that specific, detailed, minute investigation of the mind. And then there's dhyana, or meditation. So it's specific, and it's from the Nisringa Purana. Meditation on the two lotus feet of the Lord is beyond the influence of all dualities. So that's the lotus feet. So it's now it's more specific. He's meditating. Oh, Krishna's lotus feet, they're soft, kamal, you know, tinged red, bluish color. There's a more deep meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. And then, I'll just read the word in that verse, nirvandavam, an adjutate for meditation on the Lord's feet, means that such meditation is beyond the chain of miseries consisting of all dualities, such as heat and cold. So, this is an advanced meditation already. He's meditating. He's beyond dualities now. That meditation is so deep now. Meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. He's not feeling cold. He's not feeling sick. He's not feeling hot. It's beyond all dualities. and contain the highest result. Then Dhruvana Smriti, this constant remembrance. Now again, it's, they're going to give an example of like ghee flowing. Now look at our, we chant where the mind goes. It's that smarana. We're trying to remember. That's smarana. Not yet dharana, but smarana. Occasionally we remember. The focus is not so. It says, just as the water of the Ganga continuously flows to the ocean, the stream of the mind flows unobstructed towards me, the supreme soul within all beings, simply by hearing of my qualities. Like the Ganga. When the Ganga flows, it just never stops. Isn't that amazing? And that's why it describes when you achieve pure devotional service, Hoitaki, it's causeless. There's no motive for it. When you do, when you have a motive for something, then that activity will stop as soon as the reason you're doing it stops. I'm doing it for money. I'm doing it for fame. I'm going out and I'm distributing books because I want to be, you know, if there's a motive for it, right? I want to be the motive. Then if you stop doing well and the praise stops coming, you may stop. Of course, someone who's more advanced, he's just doing it out of love and service for Prabhupada. And if that love is in his heart, it'll never stop, unless there's some other service. So to stop something, it has to have a cause. Stop an activity has to have a motive. And when you can stop, if you can stop the reason for doing it, you can stop the activity. But love, real love, is not, it has no motive. So there's nothing you can do to stop it. Anyway, that's the Ganga flowing. It indicates that pure devotional service, but also when the remembrances are flowing. And he wants to describe this Dhruvana Smriti, so he's going to give a few more verses. Also from the 11th canto, one whose remembrance of the Lord is never hampered, and who, even for the sovereignty of the three worlds, is never deviated, even for a half moment from the lotus feet of the Lord, which are sought after by the gods, for whom the Lord is the very is the foremost Vaishnava. So this is the topmost Vaishnava. You cannot give him the sovereignty of the whole world. You cannot give him everything in the world. You're the controller. You got all the money. Stop. Give it up. Giriraj Swami. Father comes, I'll give you, in I think it was like, you know, 30, 40 years ago, Father offered $1 million. That must have been like $15 million, right? Father said, I'll give you $1 million. Stop. Stop. Can't stop it. It's remembrance like that. You can't stop it because it's love. And love is the highest pleasure. You can't do anything to stop. Hoitaki apratiyata. Bhakti is without break. Can't break. You can only break something. You can only stop an activity if you can offer something better. Or there's a greater pain than giving up the activity. I'll explain. Like if you say, give up this activity, I'll break your hand. And if you think, no, giving up this activity is more pain than breaking the hand, you can't get the guy to give up the activity. So there's nothing that's more painful than giving up bhakti. So you can't threaten someone, I'll cause you pain. Give up the activity. There's no pain greater than giving up bhakti at that level. And there's no greater pleasure. She can't offer him anything else. Anyway, when you're at that level, it flows. Dhruvana Smriti has been described by Ramanuja Bhagavatapada in his commentary on the first aphorism of the Danta Sutra. So we're going to hear from Bhagavatapada Ramanujacharya. Dhruvana Smriti is the stage of meditation in which remembrance is unbroken like a continuous stream of oil. This unbroken remembrance has been described as a means to liberation in the following statement. Juvenis Smriti is a special, pronounced form of liberation from all types of entanglement occurring in the acquired state of remembrance. Continuously. Now we'll go to Samadhi. Now that's even higher, because in Samadhi there's no cognizance of anything else. So here's Samadhi. Trance is referred to by Sutta Goswami. So he describes this 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi, there's a whole story. I forgot it. And I know it has something to do with Godrin Dweep and Sarabhi Kunj. Markandeya, whose consciousness was immersed in trance, was not aware of his own self or of the world, and thus he did not perceive the arrival of Lord Shiva and Parvati, the soul in control. So Shiva and Parvati came, he did not notice their coming. He was so absorbed in trance. This is Samadhi. No cognizance of anything else outside. It says, the reason why Markandeya was not aware of their arrival is that his consciousness was fully absorbed in the Lord, as indicated in a few verses previous to this, quote, he attained supreme devotion to the immortal Lord, the supreme person. So this is due to bhakti. And he's going to describe now, there's two divisions of samadhi. Some pragyata samadhi. Gyata means consciousness, awareness, full consciousness. Asam pragyata samadhi. And asam pragyata samadhi, a trance, is in which the consciousness of objects no longer remain. In other words, this is a impersonal trance. So there's two trances. Some pragyata, asampragyata. In some pragyata, the forms remain. Asampragyata samadhi, everything merges. The person, the process, the object, everything merges. So this particular samadhi that was described is not this asampragyata samadhi, because it's in devotion. Now he's going to describe, very interesting, now he's going to describe Lila Smarana, meditating on the pastimes. And meditating on the pastimes is sampragata samadhi. There's forms, there's colors, there's smells, there's everything is there. But there's full absorption, and it's transcendence. He's not aware of anything else. So sometimes in samadhi, a person may have a vision of the Lord along with his pastimes. So this is another type of samadhi, not on one object, but pastimes which change. It's not just on pastimes. Without consciousness of anything else, as indicated by Narada Vyas, O greatly fortunate Vyas, your vision is infallible. Your fame is pure, you are truthful and firm in vows. Therefore, in order to liberate all living beings from material bondage, you should reflect in trance on the activities of the Lord who performs wonderful feats. So this is an example of some pragyata samadhi. You should think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance. So Jiva Goswami from the Bhagavatam is showing that what's recommended ultimately in the Bhagavatam is this type of samadhi. Such thick remembrance, but there's distinction. The meaning is self-evident. Devotees who are situated in a relationship with the Lord as friends, servants, and so on, experience this type of samadhi. So what do you experience? You see yourself. You see the Lord, you see the emotions, the relate. You know, I always give that from the story of Dainakashira, where the cowherd boys, you know, they see Krishna's dhoti blowing in the wind, they see his peacock feather tilt to one side, let's have a festival. in this type of samadhi, you're meditating on this, you see the wind, you see the yellow dhoti floating in the air, you see its subtle revelation of Krishna's form, you see the joy of the residents of Vrindavan, you see, you know, you see them beginning to cook, and then all of a sudden you hear the different, you know, the different cowherd boys or gopis who see this sing wonderful pastimes, you're hearing the kirtan. All the details begin to manifest, and the sentiments of love between those devotees and Krishna. And that's what we ultimately want to achieve within our mind. That type. We want some pragyata samadhi. We want to come to that stage where our minds are spontaneously meditating on love, which means Krishna exchanging with his devotees. Because that's the highest type of pleasure. That's the goal, prema pumartha mahan. Now he makes a point, the shanta bhaktas, or those who are situated in neutral relate, generally experience the type of samadhi described in the previous anuchheda, in which there is no manifestations of Lord's pastimes. So Markandeya Rishi, who is meditating on the Lord, and it was devotional, but it was just meditating on Narayan, the Supreme Lord, his greatness, his distance, his reverence. There's no pastimes, it was just the mood of appreciation and that type of thing. It wasn't pastimes, but he was also in samadhi. That's the Shanta Bhakta, the one who's in neutrality. Tends to meditate in that way. And this is understood from Sutta's statement about Sri Shuka, who was a Shanta Bhakta. The Sukadeva Goswami was a Shanta. He said, I offer my obeisances unto Sri Vyasadeva's son, Sri Shuka, who destroys all sins. Although his consciousness was filled with the bliss of self-awareness, and although he was consequently devoid of any other thought, his heart became enchanted by the beautiful pastimes of Lord Ajita. Out of compassion, he narrated this prana, which illuminates. And then that's Bhagavatam, the 12th canto. And a little note here, pastimes of Lord had manifest in Sukha in the state of trance. He would not have been drawn out of that state by any external recitation of those pastimes. He was actually initially meditating on the pastimes of the Lord. He wouldn't have been drawn out by any. Now, just a little coming attractions, because we ended a little bit early today. And the coming attractions, and this is really a wonderful section that comes up next. It's about humble service, Padasdeva. And it's interesting. In that particular section, I love how it begins. See, because the whole goal is remembrance. Kirtan is to remember Krishna. Smaran is to remember Krishna. So Padasevan, if one has inclination and capability, he should also render service to the Lord's lotus feet without giving up the practices of singing about the Lord and remembering about the Lord. So in other words, even at the stage of remembrance, you should not give up what's indicating here is very subtle. If you have the inclination, the interest and capability, the energy. I know some people don't have the energy. I have one very dear godbrother. He doesn't have the energy. So he just sits all day and he has to chant and think of Krishna. He doesn't have the energy to do it. Here he says you have a capability and you should also render service without giving up the remembrance. Why? He says, some people render service to the Lord in order to perfect the practice of remembrance. In other words, it also helps bring the purity. So even someone who's in remembering, at the stage of remembrance, he can also do service. Some people also, they're at that stage, they also render service. Why? Because it helps them perfect the practice, because it purifies the heart. There's going to be some wonderful verses here about the potency of service. The Lord makes a statement in the effect in the Vishnu Rahasya. O Devarshi, the yogis engaged in meditation are not able to satisfy me as fully as those engaged in Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga means serving with the senses. By performing Kriya Yoga, a Jnana Yoga can also attain Yoga Samadhi. So by serving with the senses, in the right mood, in a real mood of devotion, because ultimately remembrance is more the bhav or the mood than the thoughts. There's a verse in the CC, the mood of love for Krishna is more important than the thoughts of Krishna action. The real thing, really to think of Krishna means to think of love, to think of devotion. You think of Krishna's pastime, if you have to be thinking of the love. So if you're serving with that love and the devotion, especially there's a verse in the fourth canto where it talks about Vishrambho Guru Seva, intimate service to the Guru. How powerful it is, that intimate service to the Guru. And service means you start thinking of the pleasure of someone else. You give yourself to someone else. And that's the beginning of bhakti, and that's the end of bhakti. You give yourself. The Guru and Krishna. So the sweetness of this service, and it's mentioned pada sevanam. Pada means what? Serve the lotus feet. Pada means serve the lotus feet means serve with humility. Serve with respect. That's what real service is. Okay, I like to end early because it gives time for questions. But this is also the Wednesday night where some people can't even attend the class because it's so late and they get up early. Initially, I started the class on Wednesday night because people said, I have to get up early and chant if I can't attend your class. So I had it on Sunday. But I don't think those people said that. Maybe they don't. Anyway, anybody like to ask any questions on this?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Karunika here.
Oh, Karunika. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question about something you said at the beginning of the class about becoming steady in the progression of becoming purified. You said that it begins with the body before it can go to the subtler level. And you said that keep the mind in one place.
Karunika? I something distracted me here. Start 1 second. You'll ask it again. It'll have a reverberation. So why don't you guys go in the next room and hear that? Okay. There's people here who wanted to hear the question, but they're listening to my class, so they're going to go on the phone in the next room. Ask your question again. Go ahead, Karunika.
Okay. We were talking about how to become steady in purifying the self. And you said that it starts with the body before it can go to the mind, et cetera, et cetera. And you made the statement that one can't keep the mind in one place unless the body is in one place. And the thought came to me that this seems to be contradictory to the sannyas ashram, where the sannyasi is supposed to keep moving constantly.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I wasn't talking about physical location, but I was talking about control. I was talking about when I say in one place. Thank you for clarifying that up. It means, in other words, controlling the senses. If you can't control the senses and you can't control the body, you won't be controlling the mind. It doesn't mean just physically sitting in one location. In other words, when I meant one place, I didn't mean like you sit in one place. I just mean the body and the senses. If you can't control the senses, you won't be able to control the mind. So I was saying that the yam and the niyam and the prana and the asana and the pranayam is meant to control. Basically, the yam and niyam and the asana is meant to first control the body, control the senses. And then when the external things are controlled, then the higher ones are dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. And that's controlling the mind. So it helps to control the mind if you can control the senses. And that's what Astanga Yoga means. First is yam and niyam. You control the senses. With what? Rules and regulations. This is what your senses do. This is what it can't do. Okay? And a sannyasi is supposed to be one. He may travel, but the traveling should be a reflection of his control of the senses, because he's detached. Does that make more sense?
Yes, that does make more sense, but going even to backwards to a grosser level, I'm thinking, I know from my own experience, that when my body is in one place, my mind is also a lot more peaceful. So.
Well, I would have to say, you see, there's an Ayurvedic doctor that told me that, you know, he's actually an Ayurvedic doctor who is renounced his occupation and job to just preach Krishna consciousness. But he wants to take Kshetra sannyas. Kshetra sannyas means that you just stay in one place. And he explained that by Ayurveda, if you move faster than a bullock cart, it blows out the fire of digestion. He said that when you change your environment, it takes 72 hours to adjust physiologically to it. And he says that when you travel fast, it increases the mode of passion, and your vata increases. So he's explaining all these things, and he said in days of yore, when a sannyasi would move, he would walk, right? And when he would walk, you couldn't go very far distance. So the environment wouldn't change, basically. You'd still be in the same environment. You wouldn't have increased the vata. You wouldn't have increased the mode of passion necessarily like this. So he said that in the modern age, you know, traveling sannyas is a much greater sacrifice and risk on so many levels than the previous age. So, it's a fact that, so when they would move, it would be basically staying. It would be, for example, like, what was I talking about? Like, you go on padyatra, right? And you 15, 20 miles, you're in the same environment, and your body is so healthy that your meditation and focus would be. So it's not like, yes, you get on a plane today, and that's why I go to India every year for 5 months. I mean, right now my preaching is just increasing so much, I'm just kind of becoming worried, well, maybe I won't be able to do that like I did in the past somehow. But, you know, the value is I'm going to go over now. I'm going to stay in one place for 2 months so I can focus, I can write, I can chant. But if I was a sannyas in the days of yore, it would be the same. I would just be wandering around detached. You know, the six Goswamis, you go from village to village. You know, you can still write, you can still focus. Yeah, thank you for helping to bring some clarification on that. Thank you, Karina.
I have one more thing. Also, you were saying also at the beginning there of expressing gratitude to the previous acharyas for encouraging us in our spiritual life. And I just wanted to express my gratitude to you for how much you've encouraged me and my family as well. So it seems appropriate to say that. And I also wanted to say that Ariel just sent me a text message that said that he was listening to the class and then he got cut off.
Oh, I got a letter from him today. Some of you know when I traveled, Ariel, that's Kunika's son, she's calling from New Zealand, he traveled with me and made a famous lasagna feast for my mother, which was pretty good. Thank you. Anybody else like to ask a question? Or okay, would someone like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Nanda Dulal?
Yes, Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance.
You know that your son, when Raghunath, my disciple in L.A., had that program with all these, you know, all these very established people, because I did that program, you know, lawyers and scientists and things. These are the people he's doing the teacher training, and he's teaching them Krishna consciousness. So he had Karnamrita come and play kirtan, and he needed a madanga player. So your son, who's, I guess, working out there in L.A., played madanga, and Raghunath called me. He said he was expert. It was fantastic. And then he was able to explain. He asked Abhijit, you know, how long you've been playing madanga. He said, since I'm 4 years old. So for all these Westerners, you know, when they see, like, the authentic specimen of growing up in Krishna consciousness, I'm sure that your son also enjoyed it a lot, you know?
Yes, yes, he did.
It was really
thank
nice.
You,
so, yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Anastasia.
Anastasia, very nice. Thank you.
I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
What's that?
I'm happy to be back on Sangha.
Oh, where
thank
were you?
Well, I had I've been in traveling this month a lot for work and
for your profession.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I had to perform here.
Okay. I was just thinking. I was going to write you and ask you how you're doing.
Actually, I've been keeping. I had a difficulty to connect to to internet, but I've been keeping my questions. So I think in a while I'm gonna write you with the questions.
Okay, do that, please. Okay, and
thank
I will
you.
See your. I've been in touch with your brother, and I'm bringing him a computer.
okay.
He needs the cheap one here, so they bought
okay.
his one, and he'll also be staying with me out in Govardhan again when I come. I'm going to be going there about October 1st or something. Okay. Yeah. Drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing, and if you have any questions, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Bharati. Hare Bol. I'm going to come by there sometime. Just been caught in a whirlwind of travel.
Maharaj, September 1st is okay with you?
What's that?
September 1st to give the program at our home. Is that okay?
It's okay, but I'm looking at my schedule and I'm trying to work it out. I still haven't. Because there's very few weekends and left, and I'm still working it out.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to find the which time to do it, because I can't just, it has to be when I'm in that area, otherwise I have to come just for the program, and I'm working out my final schedule. I'll let you know in a few days, okay?
No problem.
So, no, I want to come. Thank you. Thank you. I'll let you know in a few days. It's just some things are tentative, and I have to see if they're going to happen or not.
Uh-huh.
And I'll let you know. Okay, thank you.
Good, Maharaj. Thank you.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Good. Okay, we will end now. Thank you all for coming. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasta Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo.